Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Carrie Peck is the attorney we talk to about this kind of stuff every now and then with Peck Ritchie, the law firm, the elder law experts. Carrie, did I hear you right that the state of Illinois has written a will for you if you die without a will? So even if your spouse survives, it's now determined how your assets are split up?
The assets in your name alone, and you have a spouse, half of your assets go to your spouse and half of your assets go to your children. And so, as I pointed out a few minutes ago, the children could be minor children, which require us to open another a minor's guardianship estate for each of the children in the probate court and the circuit court in which the individual resides. And so this is really stunning to people because they don't understand that if they don't plan, the state has already planned for them. And in Illinois, the other, you know, very significant takeaway is if you die with assets in your name alone, not in joint tenancy, okay, many married couples own their assets, husband and wife. Joint tenancy is if husband dies first, the assets go to the wife. But if you own assets in excess of $100,000 in your name alone, it will require the opening of what we call a post-death probate, also in the circuit court in which the decedent resides. So there are methods to avoid these court proceedings, and planning is the answer.
Well, wouldn't you just say, well, let's make sure everything is joint tenancy or whatever the word is you used? I mean, make sure that both the husband and wife are on the mortgage, both the husband and wife are on the car loan, all of that stuff.
Yes, except that not all assets can be owned in joint tenancy. But generally, husbands and wife own assets in joint tenancy. If a couple accumulates a large sum of money, then they may not want to have assets in joint tenancy because there are potentially tax disadvantages to doing that if they have a lot of assets. So you want to make sure that you consult a capable, competent lawyer to help you navigate these challenges.
What happens in Illinois if you're a common law couple? You aren't officially married.
If in Illinois, there is no such thing as a common law couple. So we often have people that come in from other states where common law is recognized, and they don't know that Illinois has no common law. It doesn't matter if it's 7 years, 10 years, 20 years, you're not recognized. In Illinois, you need to have a marriage or a civil union in order to be recognized as a married couple.
Okay, but then say you are one of those couples without either of those things. You've been together for 40 years. I mean, those people are out there and they got kids. One of them dies. Who gets the stuff? The common law partner or the children?
Children get everything. Absolutely everything. Because there's no legal relationship between those two partners, no matter how long they've been together.
Yeah. What do you think about that? I guess it doesn't matter what you and I think about that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's unfortunately a lot of hard times for people who believe that because they've been together, they're going to inherit everybody's, their partner's assets.
Well, but also, I guess the flip of that is, what about when the children or whoever the parties are involved think, well, that other person shouldn't get all that stuff. They didn't love them, or they were preying on them, or it was a bad marriage, or it was a recent marriage to somebody very young who just sort of hitched their wagon to the gravy train here at the very end and cut in line in front of everybody. What about that?
Well, we see a lot of cases of financial exploitation, and often it's a young woman with an elderly man who may have one foot on a banana peel. And this young woman is in it for the money. Yeah. I call those cases love at first sight of his wallet. And that's really what it's all about.
But, if he is of sound mind, he gets to make that decision, right? This is the Anna Nicole Smith story all over again. I could be rich and I could know that I'm 80 and you're 25 and we each know what's in it for each of us. I can make that deal if I want. I can give it all to the pretty lady who's going to be my girlfriend for my last years. And if I of sound mind want to do that, I get to do that, right? The kids be damned.
Absolutely correct. If you are mentally competent, competent people can make bad decisions. And we frequently see elderly men make bad decisions when it comes to younger women. It's a daily call in our office from people who have these types of problems. But the reality is many of those scenarios are business. They're transactional scenarios, you know, because as you point out, each side knows exactly what they're getting. And if he's competent, then, you know, he's able to make that bad decision. Boy. Or from his perspective, it's a good decision.
Yeah, but then you just got to go to Dad and say, Dad, listen, I know that's working out for you, but come on. How about a little something for the effort here? Like, save a little for us.
That's the problem, John. It becomes a real big problem for the family when he starts, buying her a condominium and buying her a fancy luxury SUV and signing, loan documents for her to purchase things, yeah, or pays the tuition for her children to school, things like that. So, you know, there are a lot of complexities to these situations.
We're talking to Kerry Peck with Peck Ritchie, the elder law firm, the elder law attorney. I'll give his phone number in a second. It's peckritchie.com. And Charles had a question or comment. Hey, Charles, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm curious. My mother-in-law, who's widowed, I married her daughter, and my wife passed away last year. And my mother-in-law refused to make a will, to my understanding. And I'm curious what happens when she passes away, if I am entitled to anything or not. Some people told me I was.
You're married to her daughter.
I was, and she passed away last year.
Your wife did?
Yes, my wife passed away last year.
So then, right. Would it pass to him then, Kerry?
From his mother-in-law?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. No.
I get nothing at all.
You'll get absolutely nothing unless she puts you in a will. She puts you in a will and leave you assets, or make you perhaps a payable on death beneficiary of an IRA or even in joint tenancy. But without a will, you're not going to get anything.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not greedy or anything. I was just curious what happened. Someone told me I should get money. I do have two children as well from my wife. So
these are her grandkids. I wonder,
yes,
do you know, has she included them or you in her will?
She did not make a will. From my understanding, my sister-in-law drove her to make one, and she changed her mind and refused to make one. So she's living alone with her son, and I know she's concerned about him, that where he'll have a place to live and this and that. And I was just curious what happened.
Okay. Thanks for the phone call. I'm going to just put you on hold for a second here. And Kerry, though, that versions of that come up all the time, right? Where the mother or father are living now with one of the siblings, and the other siblings, or in this case an in-law, might think, you know, look, these are the grandkids here. I don't know that you're getting the best advice from that favorite son who is living with you right now. You know what I'm saying?
I do. We have a lot of scenarios in which, you know, that favorite son is often a ne'er-do-well son.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had a job, or he has a gambling addiction, or perhaps even worse, a drug addiction. And he's basically living off mom or dad. And so that's a pretty common problem these days, unfortunately. And, you know, those are tough situations in which you need to bring some resources to bear and make sure that mom is making the right decision and her son isn't exploiting her.
Well, speaking of right decisions, we're out of time, Kerry. Kerry Peck is at peckritchie.com. So here's
John,
the number.
Can I change the phone number there? It's 312-201-0900.
So hold on, 312, there's your phone, 201. Do the last four for me.
09. 0900 312-201-0900
PeckRitchie.com. Okay, Perry. Well, Carrie,
thank
well,
you so much, John.
Well done, and we'll visit again. And we'll get the information right. It'll be a great show.